quicker.
Okay. Last share of Zman. Pasha Sazria. It's not something we usually have a schus discussing in the yeshiva. It's usually been Zmanim. But there's a tremendously difficult parasha. The Gemara always talks about, if you want an example of something complicated, Kloch Eitzel Oholus V'Negoim. Go along and start studying the Masechus of Oholus, with all the dinim of Tumas Mace and Tumas Oil. And Negoim, which is Masechus Negoim, is a very difficult, complex parasha. And it's all based on this week's parasha, Parasha Sazria. Just to get it clear on a factual level, exactly the mahalach, exactly what happens in this case, in that case, exactly if it turns white later, if there's a hair surrounded by the makkah, by the nega, and nega surrounded by the hair. Very, very complicated parasha. But what's fascinating is that, first of all, we don't have these negoim today. Now, we translate tzaraas as leprosy. Leprosy is, if you look into the parasha, you look into the Mishnayos, it's nothing to do with leprosy. Leprosy is a debilitating, crippling illness that people lose limbs. That's obviously not what tzaraas is all about. And therefore, lemaisa, the whole concept of tzaraas on the oyer of a person, on the begodim, on the clothing of a person, on the house of a person, has disappeared. The shaila is why. Why is it that we have a parasha that seems to be so crucial, that they talk so much about in the sechtas and parashas, and it doesn't apply today? Secondly, if you look in the parasha, in Perek Yud Gimel, V'davah Hashem Moshe v'l Aaron Lemoir, Odom, ki yeh bo'or b'soroi se'esei sepacha se'i beheres, Odom. Odom is a very lowly term. Odom is like coming from the ground, Odom, from Adomo, from the ground. So Odom is a very, very lowly term. We usually use in the Torah the term of Ish or Isho, right? Odom, why do we use the term over here of Odom? Odom kiyeh ba'oy b'sori se'esei sepachah se'beheres, various different kinds of nagoim. For huva and Aaron ha'koinim echum abonav ha'koinim. It's a halacha that you've got to bring it to Aaron ha'koin. Now, the koinim, true, the koinim represented Tamid ha'chachamim. They represented Torah, they represented those people who were supported in order to learn Torah, but they weren't the only Tamid ha'chachamim around. There are plenty of Tamid ha'chachamim who ultimately were not koinim. Okay, so therefore, why is a halacha dafka to bring to a kohen? And even more than that, let's say the idea is to bring it to a Talmud Chacham, and therefore that's why I bring it to a kohen. What happens if the kohen himself found a nega? Says a pasuk, still v'huva l'kohen. He's still got to go to another kohen. Why is it that he's got to go to another kohen? If I need to suck myself, know what's going on over here? Have a look. You could be the one who could be the biggest mumcha, the biggest expert in the goyim. You paskin hundreds of shaylos a day. So you know yourself what it is. So why is the idea of huvel a koinim going to bring to another koinim? What's the idea behind the dafka koinim? And why dafka bring it to another koinim if it all is the idea of paskening? And the apostle talks about ra koinim sanega, etc., etc. And the apostle says, if we don't know, or if we do know, vehiskia ha koinim sanega shesem, you lock him up. And you lock him up, you separate him, you lock him up. And the apostle says later on, if it is Tommy, you throw him out the machne. What's the idea behind going outside the machne? Well, why is he going through this whole process? What's the idea? So what's very interesting is the din of Negoim only applies to Klal Yisrael. A goy who gets tzaraas is not Tommy. A yid has a tumah tzaraas. The whole concept of tzaraas applies after to Klal Yisrael. Why is it that Klal Yisrael have this concept of tzaraas and not a goy? What's the concept behind this? What's the idea behind this? A little bit of history. Klal Yisrael have never ever had it easy, especially in Europe. You know, we talk about how terrible the Arabs are. The Jews had it very, very good in all the generations in Arab countries until the Zionists started sort of really getting their stirring them up. The Jews in the Arab countries, for generations, besides sporadic attacks here and there, the Jews did very, very well. Europe, though, was a different story. And all the way through the generation after generation after generation, there was this and there was that and there was that and there was this. In 1912, there was something called the Mendel Bayliss affair. Mendel Bayliss was a simple factory worker, lived in Kiev. And they basically they made a blood libel that he had taken a Christian child and taken the blood for the matzahs. Okay, this was a persona non grata, you know, something people knew nothing about. Little Yidler, and Nebuch, a simple guy, he didn't know what hit him. He did not know what was going on. They blamed him for taking the blood of a Christian child for matzahs. Now, I mean, you got to be really stupid to make a blood libel. Jews don't even have blood in their eggs. But this, the Chazal say, by the way, is the kapara of Mechiras Yosef. That because of the Mechiras Yosef with the blood libel, and Yosef never gave the proper kapara, Midah k'neged Midah, we always had a blood libel. Okay, the blood, is this the blood of your son? Of Yosef, Hakinah, recognize this is a kapara for the blood libel from Mechiras Yosef. And we suffered year after year after year after generation of blood libels. So this was a blood libel in 1912 against Mendel Bailis. And the whole world was mobilized in order to help Mendel Bailis. They had lawyers in London sending letters. Queen Victoria sent a letter to the Ukrainian government asking them how stupid they could be. You know, you're outdated, it's over. We don't have blood libels today. The whole world got involved. And they made this not only a local blood libel, but they made this into a Jewish versus Christian debate. Meir Shapiro, who was a young man, he was a tremendous Ilui, and he said, by the way, I'm going to tell you something they're going to be asking the Jew as a debate. So they got this Nebuch, I'm not sure exactly who they got, but they got this Otto Derech Yid to represent the Christians. Person who became a Christian, represented Christians, who was unfortunately very knowledgeable in Gemaras and Mishnayos and Chumashim, and he was able to represent the Christian side of the story to really give them, you know, really make a showdown there. And he said, the question he's going to ask is as follows. The Gemara says, Atim kriim odom, ve'ein oyevdei kechodim kriim odom. It's Gemara in Yevamos, the Samachalef. You are called Odom and they're not called Odom. So you see from the Gemara that Jews do not value Goyim as human beings. And if not valid as human beings, then why can't we kill them? They're subspecies. You know, that's Nazism. They're subspecies. They aren't one of us. And therefore, we can go and kill them. And that's one of the questions they're going to ask you. And Kachava, they're asking the question. And he said, just be prepared to answer the following. What is the plural of Odom?
Bnei Adam.
Odom itself. What is the plural of Odom? It reminds me once, I met once Reb Osher Aaron Troy. And he said he used to be very involved in bringing guys from the Kosel to his house with Meir Shus. He used to send me guys for Shabbos to go to eat in his house. And he said he once had a conservative or reform girl who came to his Shabbos table, and she was very upset with the chauvinistic way that the tefillahs had been prepared. So Rabbi Osher asked her, you know, the way it's very masculine, it's very masculine base of brachas. He said, tell me how do you make the brachas? He says, well, for example, he says in Sher Brachas, says Baruch Atah Hashem Kenim Elam Yoytzer HaAdam. Says yes, and what does your rabbi say? She says, "Yoytzer ha'odom for ha'adomo." Okay, yoytzer ha'odom for ha'adomo. So therefore, you have the masculine and the feminine. Fantastic. But the ma'aser, what is a plural of odom? No, she was absolutely serious. Okay, that's, you know, godless of managed to show the brilliance of the female race, you know. Anyway. No, so when you start playing around, playing around with neschoyes, you're in danger. What is a plural of Odom? There is no plural. What's a plural of Ish? Anoshim. Noshim. Right? So he says, the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is very simple. In a Jew, there is no plural. Every single Jew is part of one big human. There's one Odom that every single one of Klal Yisrael is part of. Horaya, this Mendel Bailis, he's a brick worker, a factory worker.
He's nothing. Who is he in Ukraine? Why is a Jew in London worried about him? Why is a Jew in Lithuania davening for him? Why is a professor in Germany trying to put together a legal team? The terrorist is because when you bash the toe of one individual, the mouth says ow. Because it's one Odom. There's one person. He says, Atem Kriyam Odom. You! Klal Yisrael are called Odom singular. Because we're one human, we're one person. We're one body. But Haimloi Kriyam Odom, they're not called Odom. Each person there, they may have a lot of people doing the same thing, but ultimately it's a lot of people. It's not one individual going through what the Jews are going through. Horaya, look at the story of what's happening over here. Look how many people are getting involved. That's Peshat and Kriyam Odom. Loshon Hara, the Gemara says, why does Tsaras come? The Gemara says in Erech in various different reasons. One reason the Gemara says is because of Tsar Ayin. Tsar Ayin is stinginess, is in Yiddish, not forgiving, not allowing the other person to get what you would like yourself. Not allowing the person to get the shidduch that you would have liked, not to get the job you would have liked, not to live the life that you would have liked, not to have the chavrusa you would have liked, not forgiving. And because you don't forgive the other person, you look into their life and try and find out every single negative attribute he may have, and make sure the whole world knows exactly what's wrong with him. It's Tsar Ayin, it's Loshon Hara. All these things come from the idea of a person not appreciating that they're different. They're not appreciating that Lamaisa, that they are part of one Odom. You know, if a person goes along and they buy himself a new pair of shoes, the eyes don't become jealous of the same person. He's very happy that his feet have a nice pair of shoes. We are called Odom. Says a pasuk, Odom! Klal Yisrael, remember you're one person. What are you doing having Tzor Ayin? Why are you jealous? What are you so worried about? Why are you upset that somebody else has what you don't have? Odom! Remember you're Odom. Ki yeboi besori, remember, this is how Tzoras is. Remember where you're coming from. Remember who you are. Remember the source of what a Jew is supposed to be. United. The difference, Rabbeisai, between united and untied is where you put the I. Where am I? Am I happy with the other person getting it? Am I upset with the other person getting it? Where am I? You can be united or untied. It depends where you put the eye, where you put yourself. You can forgive the other person. Allow the person to enjoy life. Allow the person to have what he has. It's not for you. A person not jealous of another person's glasses. The length of the prescription. It's a different prescription. You wear them, you'll crash the car. Right? You're one person. Odom kiyya. What is a kohen? A kohen is all about uniting, bringing back together. Aaron a kohen is oyev shalom v'reiv shalom. It's all about bringing people back together again, uniting Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when it comes to Loshon Hara, when it comes to Tzar Ayin, we take the Odom and we try and make him back into an Odom again. We take him and bring him to the kohen. And the coin represents peace, the coin represents love, the coin represents giving brachas, v'recha Hashem v'yishmerecha, he's happy that other people get the bracha, and therefore that's why I brought to a coin. Why not a goy? Why doesn't a goy get tzaras? Because a goy doesn't have the odom factor. He doesn't have the odom that he is one united factor, and therefore we don't expect him not to have tzar ayin. We don't expect him not to speak Loshon Hara. Because he's different. He's different. Each person of a guy is separate and he's different. Of course there's jealousy. But a Jew to have jealousy, you should be happy that the other person who is really part of you, he has what he has. That's the Odom. So what does he do? The Pasuk says, Bodod Yeshev Chutzal Machne. He's got to sit outside the Machne. You've got to go away. The Gemara says, there are various different people who consider like a mace. Like a dead person. Chaim Shmuel Nevis talks about this a lot. A Metzora is one of those people who are considered like a mace. A person who doesn't have children is considered like a mace. A person who's blind is considered like a mace. And a person with tzaras is considered like a mace. He's considered as if he's dead.
Like also poor.
Yes, exactly, that's right. And Oni as well, also Choshev Kameis, absolutely right. Oni also Choshev Kameis. What's the idea? So Chaim Shmuel Nevis says, Chas v'shonen, don't think that Choshev Kameis means it's as bad as dying. You know, tzaras is so painful, it's like you're dying. He says, no. When we talk about dying, we talk about having any tzaras rather than dying. Yasso yisrani ko, Allow me to suffer, chas v'shalom, but don't kill me. In other words, suffering and dying are two different items, two different elements. And therefore you can't compare a person who's suffering to a person who's dead. Because we say suffering is much better than dying. So what's Oni Choshev Kames? What is Bishat Sumu Choshev Kames? So he brings a concept which is very, very powerful, and he says, Choshev Kames means discommunicated from the community, means you're not able to put in your koichus into creating a future. You're not able to put your input into the world. An Oni, he's pushed aside. He doesn't have a word to say. People don't listen to him. A person who's blind, he doesn't see what's necessary to put into the world. A person who's childless doesn't have, in a certain way, a capacity to put in to the creation of the world, to that certain capacity of, obviously, of having children. You have plenty greatest people in the last generations who didn't have children, who were G'day Le'ador, the Chazon Ish, from Simcha Wasserman. We're talking about G'day Le'ador. But in that certain particular derech, of creating children, creating a future, he doesn't like. And he said the same thing is, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, is talking about when we talk about a mitzvah. A mitzvah is pushed away from society. Somebody who is not able to appreciate society, not able to appreciate what other people have can help him. Not to appreciate that the maisa, what other person has does not affect him, is pushed away from society. And we say to him, listen, we don't want you to have anything with society now. Go out, discommunicate yourself, and look in from this lonely hilltop into the community again, and see what is going on in the community. See what people do for you. See what it means to be lonely. See what it means not to have people saying to you good morning. See what it means not being able for you to give to other people. See how important it is to have relationships. And see how important it is that you allow other people to have what they have, and you have what you have, and not necessarily have a tzar ayin. That's Bodhi Yosh Chutz Machni. Go out and make introspection. What is the introspection he has? And this is a beautiful vault. The Chlusha Rim says this. If you look later on, by the Tziras of Begodim, It says a Loshen, it's exactly which pasuk it is over here. It says, V'hinne le'hofach ha'nega es enoi. What this means over here, Perikut Gimel Pasuk Nun Hei. Ro koin achre chubas es anega, vehinei lehofach anega es einoi. The nega has not changed its appearance. Lehofach es einoi has not changed its appearance. Ask the Chiddush HaOrim, why is it the lashon of hofach es einoi? So lehofach es mar'eu. Yeah, why es einoi? What's pshat es einoi? So he says, like we've discussed beforehand, that Tziras is all about giving a person a message. It's all about telling the person that you're doing something wrong. What you're doing wrong is the Tzar Ayin. There's something wrong with your eyes. There's something wrong with you. So he says, giving Tziras on a beged is to teach a person, Rabbi Yisai, wake up! There's Tzar Ayin over here. If a person goes along and tries to do this and tries to do that, and you look for this remedy and that remedy, but it doesn't change his hashkofa, doesn't change the way he thinks through life, then it's not going to help him. He didn't change his eye. He didn't change the ayin hara to the ayin toiv. Therefore, says the pasuk, it's going to spread. It hasn't become tohu. Lehofach es enoi means it doesn't help just to go through the motions. You got to change your perspective in life. You got to look at the other person, say, Baruch Hashem, the other person has what he has. It's not good for me. And if lehofach es enoi, unless you changed the way you look at other people, it's not going to help you, Bechlal. People find it very, very difficult. very, very difficult to forgive the other person, to allow the other person to have what they believe is theirs. There's a beautiful story I saw from Zilberstein. There was a particular Rebbetzin in Yerushalayim who was extremely makbid in Shmiras Loshon. And she used to give shiurim, and her family obviously were very careful. And wherever she went, as a teacher, as a moira, as a lecturer, she'd go around and she'd give the importance of Loshon Hara. She was sitting on the back of a bus in Yerushalayim, and she heard two seminary girls from... I'm not going to say which seminary... two seminary girls speaking about a friend of theirs that had just got engaged the night before. Went to the vot. And these girls were talking about what Nebuch, this poor chosson, is going to have to go through. Nebuch, you know, this girl, what a terrible, terrible person she is. She's so selfish, so self-centered. She's got such a terrible mood. She's always got a bad temper. She's violent. Ugh, no mamish Loshon Hara stabbing her again and again and again and again. For 10 minutes, 15 minutes, Nebuch. And they came up with a conclusion that this poor chosson's going to go through hell marrying this girl. And how lucky they are. Yeah? How lucky they are that Baruch Hashem, they're not the one marrying this girl. This poor chosson's going to marry this girl. Obviously, they were jealous, right? Anyway. So this Rebbetzin turns around and says, "Girls, I've got to thank you. I've got to thank you. I'm very, very grateful. Such a Saturday Shemaya. You know, punked. How can I possibly thank you enough? Hashem put me on this bus just to hear what you have to say." "So what do you mean?" He says, "You don't recognize me? I'm the mother of the chosson. I'm the mother of the chosson. I'm going to go back now and I'm going to have to tell my son everything you said. And the last thing I want is chas v'shalom, my son, to fall into a marriage to a girl who's such a witch. There's no way. There's no way I can allow my son to marry this girl. I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell him exactly what you said about her temper and about her selfishness and about... And I'm going to tell my son." So he's got, what are they going to do now? You know, they meant to speak Loshon Hara, but something's going to happen from this. So he says, no. You know, we exaggerated a little bit. You know, and you know, if you really want to know, she has a few good traits too. You're going to go, and she's, you know, maybe she's selfish. You know, maybe we're also really selfish sometimes. But if you think about it, and they tried to rectify, she says, no. She said, no. Now you're trying to make me feel happy. But beforehand, you're talking the truth. You didn't know the mother. Right? So now you're trying to make me feel happy. Before you mesich lifitumoy, you're just speaking naturally. Therefore, I tend to believe what you said beforehand rather than believing now. No, chas v'shalom. Please, you know, we don't want to break the shidduch off. So listen, there's an obligation as a mother. You overheard girls speaking like that. I have an obligation to go and tell my son. And these girls burst into tears and begged her not to say. So, no, I have to. Obviously, this wasn't a mother. Right? And obviously, it's nothing to do with these girls. But these girls will be careful next time they speak Loshon Hara. Hafach es einoi. Now, this woman was hafach es einoi. Yeah? She gave them a lesson. She changed the way they're going to look at, you know, speaking Loshon Hara again. Hafach es einoi means you've got to change the way you have a perspective. I think Reb Levi used to say. What's that? It's brought in Reb Zilberstein Sefer.
How'd you know the name of the seminar?
I'm joking, it doesn't say name of the seminary. Reb Leib Gurevitz used to say, Chochom Einov Bereshoi. A Chochom puts an ayin first. What's Peshat? So he says the difference between Oineg and Nega is where you put the ayin. Both are spelled Ayin Nun Gimel. Or Nun Gimel Ayin. The difference between whether it's an oineg, life is a pleasure for you, or a nega, or it's an affliction, every time you see somebody getting something, it hurts you and stabs you and makes you jealous, it depends where you put the eye in. How is your eye? Chochem einof bereshoi. A chochem puts the eye in at the beginning of the word, i.e. he makes it into oineg. Yeah? If you're not, for Rahmanul Islam, then it turns into a nega. Everything somebody has is yours. He doesn't deserve it. He took your job, he took your position, he took your covered. And it turns into a nega. So it's got to be hofach es eino. You've got to change the perspective. You've got to look around and change the way you look at other people. I think it was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. I don't remember. I think it was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, why is it that the Meraglim got 40 days was compared to the 40 years of going to the Midbar? Right, the 40 days they went around Eretz Yisrael, they got 40 years on the Midbar. The Chet The chet of the Meraglim was those few minutes that they spoke. So why is it that they get the 40 days for the 40 years? What my kesher for the 40 days? He said, Lashon Hara does not begin when you're actually speaking it. Lashon Hara begins the way you saw it at the beginning. The ayin. How did you look at it? How did you look at the whole Eretz Yisrael at the very beginning? The fact that you went around looking at Eretz Yisrael like this way and that way, for those 40 days, that was the beginning of the chet. The result was speaking later. But the chet itself took place when you walk around Eretz Yisrael and looking at it with a bad eye, the tzara ayin. That is why you have 40 days for the 40 years. And that's hofach eino. You've got to change your perspective. You've got to change the glasses you're wearing and see everyone as an Adam, as one person. You're not jealous of yourself. Sometimes Rabbi Yisrael needs help. Sometimes one needs help. And a person, poshut, does not see that he has anything wrong with him. The big Bali Musa, they used to pay, I think it was a Vilna Gaon, paid a Dublin Maggid to give him Musa. Right? They paid him to give him Musa. It's not easy for a person to take Musa. It's not easy for a person to see they're doing anything wrong. Rav Moshe's got a beautiful vault in next week's parasha, Parashas Metzora, also connected with the Tahara of the Metzora. It says, in Perek Yudal Pasuk Hey, V'tziva HaKoyin, the Koyin will command, sorry, Pasuk Dalet. V'tziva HaKoyin, V'lokach L'mitai Shteitzit Porim Chayis Tohiris. The Koyin will command, and you should take for the Mitai Shteitzit Porim. Rabbi Yisrael, what are we doing over here? The Koyin is involved in making a Psak. I can understand. The Koyin is involved in doing avoid in a base of Migdosh to be Mitaher the Mitzairah, I can understand. Why do we have, though, a need for a Koyin in Pasuk Dalet to him to command which birds to take? Let a person take the birds himself and bring them to a Koyin. What's up with Siva HaKoyin? The Koyin will command V'lokach, and you should take those two birds. Go and take the two birds yourself and finished. So Ramesha, how many tshuvas did Ramesha write? Thousands, right? Sefer after Sefer Igros Ramesha. And Ramesha used to krecht. He used to be very upset. He used to say, people ask me so many shilas, what brocha you make on pretzels, and what brocha they make on chocolate covered peanuts, and is this a kazayis, and is that a kazayis, and in business. He said, why don't people ask me shilas of what is a priority to tzedakah? Why don't people ask me shilas, where should I send my kid to yeshiva? What chinuch should I give my kids? Why do people ask shailas on those things that they think is important, which really is not that important compared to the really big shailas in life? Should I leave yeshiva? Should I leave kollel? Should I send my son to university or to yeshiva? Why do people ask those shailas? Why every shail, you know, is it this or is it that? Ask the big shailas. Ask the big shailas. And Ramesh used to say, how many shailas do I get on asking the very big shailas? Very, very few. And he said, the Meister, those are the shayas people should be asking. A person, unfortunately, paskins for himself. A person goes through life and he judges. And he judges people, and he judges situations, and he comes to wrong conclusions, and he speaks Lashon Hara, and he has Tzar Ayin. And you know what? He's got it completely wrong. He is a wrong person. He needs to be asking shayas about himself. What Musa Seder should I be learning Musa? What should I do in order to improve my Midas? How should I go about making myself more forgiving for the other person? He doesn't ask that to the Rav. He asks the Rav all different shailas. Says the Torah, you know what? Go to the Kohen. Go to the Talmud Chochem. And the Talmud Chochem has got to ask you, has got to explain to you from the very basics in life. Which two birds should I take? How should I be doing this? How should I be doing the most simple things in life? You've got to re-educate yourself. Go and ask a Talmud Chochem. And therefore, even for those things you can do yourself, even those things that you can get away with doing yourself, you should go to Talmud Chochem for as well. To totally readjust, to reevaluate who you are and where you should be going. Ask Das Torah. Get a Talmud Chochem to show you the Mahalach. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Kol nega odom roya chutz menega atzmai. A person can see every nega besides their own nega. Biggest Talmud Chochem koyin can go along, and he can paskin his whole life, but when he has saras himself, he's not allowed to paskin. Why? Because he cannot paskin his own shalis. He does not see his own nega. He does not see in the same way. And I mentioned a few years back a beautiful thing. The Mishnah says as well, so too by Bechoyer. A Bechoyer, if a person has a bechor that's a bal mum, you have to shecht it. It remains yours, right? If it's not a bal mum, you have to give it to a kohen. Yeah, and it's split up according to different parts of the animal. But he says if a person has a bechor, he's got to go to a kohen. And a person can pass in every dinner bechor besides his own. Doesn't have to go to a kohen. He has to go to talmid chacham or mumcha. Okay, they cannot pass in his own din bechor. So those two things he can't pass in. Ain't another nigger atzmai, and a person can't pass in his own bechor either. So I wanted to say that lemaisa, those are two opposites. There are two opposites in a person drawing the wrong conclusion. By case of a nega with tsaras, a person doesn't want to have the nega. Correct? Highly, highly upsetting. It's annoying. It's inconvenient. It's terrible to have a nega. It's terrible. You got to sit aside by yourself. It's embarrassing. You shave off all your hair. Everyone can see your head tsaras. It's embarrassing. And therefore, when a person has a nega, he has every wish to cover it up. Pretend it's not there. So therefore, here's a case where a person has a nega, and if a person trusts himself, it'd be as if he doesn't have a nega, he'll cover it up. That's the case by tsaras. By bechoyer, it's exactly the opposite. By bechoyer, a person, if he doesn't have a mum, then he has a problem. So he's going to start giving it away, it's expensive, it's inconvenient, he's going to lose money. So what does he do? He has to find a mum. And therefore, in a case there, it doesn't have a mum, and he says, yes, it has a mum. So one case, it has a mum, he says, it doesn't have a mum. Another case, it doesn't have a mum, he says, it has a mum. On both cases, a person can't be trusted. People go through life, and they have mum, and they have failings, and it's difficult to come to face with it. You can't look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm doing something wrong. And therefore, you're right, and the person covers it up, and they blame it on different... On upbringing, on society, on everyone but himself. You've got to go to a kohen, you've got to go to Talmud Chacham and sit down and discuss how to become better. So that's a nega that you try and cover up. No, don't cover up. Try and understand what's motivating you to do this. How can I get out of this tsaras, out of this nega? On the other hand, you have people who are lazy. Kiruv is not for me. Rabbonus is not for me. Learning is not for me. You know, I'm too thick for this. I'm too stupid for that. And the Maisa, you know, I don't have time for this. And they cover up and they make out as if they're not as good when they really are absolutely fine. And that's another nega. And that's another blemish. When a person is able to do something and he reads a chayin, he tells himself, nah, that's not for me. I can't do this. How can I possibly do this? In the famous story of Tana Be Eliyahu, where Eliyahu Novi met this fellow, and he said to him, why don't you learn? He says, me learn? Hashem gave me the brain of a snail. You know, how can I learn? I'm so stupid. He said, okay, so what do you do? He said, I'm a fisherman. So really, Tommy, explain to me how you do the fisherman. So he goes very quickly, he goes through and he plants a flax and he waits for it to grow and he cuts it down and he puts it into, makes it into a net and he takes a net and he catches a fish. He said, doing fine with that. Doing very well with that. What about your learning? And that's going to happen to every person. A person, you know, a person's very, very clever. He can get, do this and he can do that, he can do this and do that. But when it comes to, you know, helping somebody else, no, it's not for me. I haven't got time. I haven't got effort. How am I supposed to? No. When it comes to Bukhari as well, there's a certain time when a person goes to Talmud Chacham and Talmud Chacham tells him, you don't have a nega. You're absolutely fine. You could do it. You can finish us. You haven't got a problem. You're fine. You can help the other person. You can do more chesed during the day. You're fine. And that is the idea of this week's parasha. It's all about connecting oneself to the real Adam. To connecting oneself to Klal Yisrael, who ultimately is Sholim, who is perfect. Not being jealous of oneself. If you realize that every single part of Klal Yisrael is part of the same Adam, there's no Tsar Ayin, there's no jealousy. And if there is jealousy, you've got to Hofach Es Einoi, you've got to take and change the Ayin to an Ayin Tova. Go through introspection, go ask Talmid Chachamim for Musa to help you go and readjust and refocus on the real MS. And that is this week's parash, Ishak Isadri. The thing Rabbi Yisrael says, and it's based on a story of the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem's Talmidim were once at a restaurant, and they asked the innkeeper question after question after question after question about the kashrus, about the shechita, about the checking and everything. And then afterwards, they were joking about the innkeeper, what an Amar Oretz is. So somebody sitting there in the inn said, if you be so careful, as what went out of your mouth, as what came into your mouth, you'd be fine. And the Baal Shem said, Baruch Hashem, for that itself was worthwhile sending them to that inn on that journey. The Bishrol says the reason why last week's parasha is dealing here with tame animals, and then it starts talking about the tzaras, is just like a person so careful what heksha they have, and it's this mahadrin and that mahadrin. A person's careful, Rachman Hassan, not to make any compromises with kashrus. In last week's parasha, the person shouldn't have to make any compromises with this week's parasha with the kashrus adibur either. Shakayach.